Dear friends in Jesus Christ, what kind of a person are you? Are you a person you might call a 2 + 2 = 4 kind of a person? In other words, do you base what you believe on logic, so it's reasonable, and do you base what you believe on proof, it's factual? Those are good ways, I think, to be. What about Jesus? Did he really die on a cross? A lot of people think he must not have died because we know he was alive after Good Friday for a number of days. Many people saw him, so he must not have really died. Is that a good conclusion to come to? Some people would look at it that way. What about logic? When we think about basing things on logic, let's go back to that Roman centurion, Pilate. He sentenced Jesus to death. He turns him over to the centurion, and that was his job, to take that condemned criminal and to put him to death. You can be certain that that centurion is going to do his job no matter what. He was a soldier over 100 other soldiers. He was an important person, and he always did what he was told to do. Certainly, he would put Jesus to death. What about proof? John tells us that a soldier pierced Jesus' side with a spear, and immediately, the Bible says, blood and water came out. What does that mean? A retired cardiothoracic surgeon, Dr. Anthony DeBono, wrote that Jesus had a hemothorax. In other words, in the stillness of his dead body, the fluid separated into two layers, the heavier red cells below and the light watery plasma above. In other words, the blood and water came out of Jesus, proving that in fact, he was dead. God wants us to be sure that is true, and everything in the Bible points in that direction. He was dead. Since most of us are logical, and we believe what is proven by experts, many people in the world today would conclude, yes, really he died, and being logical and reasonable, he must still be dead. Do you have any relatives who have died and now they're living? Is there anyone in attendance here that was dead and buried, but now you're back here in church? That just doesn't happen, does it? So logically, reasonably, we would say that Jesus must still be dead. However, though, good news. Good news because of God's unshakable truth. Whatever God says, it must happen. Why is that? God is almighty. He can make it happen. God is holy. He must do what he has promised. So because of God's unshakable truth and by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, what has happened? Our logic has been canceled. And we are now, by the grace of God, we are embracing the risen Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. I hope that's true for every one of us. That is such good news. In today's sermon, we're going to touch very briefly on what happened on that Easter Sunday, and then look at a little section written by Paul on the topic of the resurrection. Let's go right to Luke chapter 24. We see the body of Jesus is gone. The Bible says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. When we think about those women, they had no thought of him being raised from the dead. Instead, they were still filled with much sadness, thinking back to Good Friday, and they were simply there to continue the process to anoint his dead body. What ends up happening, though, we see some angels show up, and it's such a game changer for everybody. The Bible says, while they were perplexed, what does that mean? These women, they were baffled. They just couldn't get it. Wait a minute. We saw them put the body into the tomb. We saw them roll the stone in place. Now the stone is rolled back. Now the body is gone. They were just like completely out of it as to what could have possibly happened. They had no idea. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men. Now we know these were not just men, they were angels. The Bible makes that clear in other gospel accounts. So they looked a little bit like men maybe, but they were holy angels. So two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Think about the reaction of those women to those angels. The Bible indicates they were terrified when they saw them. We are all sinful human beings. These are holy angels. And somehow that difference of holiness and sin, and probably their dazzling clothing as well, they were so terrified. Not only did they bow a little bit in respect, the Bible says their faces were right down to the ground. I mean, they were probably shaking with fear. They didn't know what was going on. Now think for a moment about these awesome angels. Super awesome angels, but they were created by a much more awesome God who is worthy of our total respect, our total trust, our total obedience. Because we haven't seen an angel, we might not feel the way those women feel. We have not seen God Almighty, so we might not feel the way those women felt. However, though, think about the world in which we are living. God is so great that he spoke the entire world into existence. You talk about great power. God wants us to know that is who he is. One day, we're going to stand before him face to face, so he's calling us now to take him very seriously with respect and with trust and with obedience. When we think about what the angels said, so here are these women, they're sad, they came to anoint the body, and the angels, they give to those women a life-changing reminder. What did they say to them? They said, "Hey, don't forget. Remember what Jesus said. He said, I will be betrayed. I will be mistreated. I will be crucified. In other words, I will be nailed to a cross and I will die on that cross. But on the third day, I will rise again." Like right when the angel said it, it's like it clicked for them. Oh yeah, that's right. He did say those things. Did they always believe everything that Jesus had previously said? They did, but they had forgotten about this very important thing. So when the angel said it, by the grace of God, they believed it. What did the women do? Now what? The body is gone, they haven't seen Jesus, but we have some more information here, and they believe that he has risen even though they haven't seen him. Do you believe that he has risen? I believe it. I haven't seen him. I hope you believe it too. Faith is believing in something without having to see. The Bible goes on and tells us about the women now. The women remembered Jesus' words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now there were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. We don't quite know exactly how many women, but there were at least four women and maybe more than that. But by the grace of God, they believed, they were excited, they're going back to the apostles. But what happens? The Bible says these words spoken by the women to the apostles appeared as nonsense, and they would not believe them. Isn't that so sad? The women, they believed when the apostles heard the same information. Now, of course, there's a difference. The women heard the information from the angels, and now the men hear the information from the women. But so sad, though, that they would not believe. What happened, though? The Bible says, Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. So it talked in there about the 11. So, of course, there were the 12 apostles minus Judas, who betrayed Jesus, who ended up hanging himself. Such a sad situation. So they're talking to the 11. Think about the 11. With Jesus during his entire ministry, they heard all of his teaching. They witnessed all of his miracles. And they heard him even say multiple times, I will rise on the third day. The women say it, and yet they did not believe. Why didn't they believe? They were leaning on their logic. They were leaning on the proof. They understood he was dead, and they weren't willing to go beyond that. God wants us to get out of this logic and proof and realize God can do anything beyond logic and proof. Sure, logic and proof, those are great blessings. We should use those with almost everything in life. But what does the Bible say, though? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the truth doing? The truth is breaking the hold that logic and proof have upon us. Some people, they're simply bound by that logic, they're bound by the proof, they're not giving in no matter what. What does the truth of God do? It breaks that. It opens us to a truth that we never knew before, we never believed before, and it changes everything. God wants us to know that. So what did Peter do? The Bible doesn't say that Peter believed at this point, but when Peter heard, though, he was curious. He was excited. So what did he do? He ran to the tomb. He looked in there. Jesus was gone. He's thinking about what the women said. And then the Bible says that he marveled at all these things. So maybe he wasn't believing yet that Jesus was risen, but he was wondering and marveling and thinking about all these things in a really serious way. So what happened here? Peter, he searched. That's all he could do. Peter, he searched. What about God? God opened his way to the truth, and what did the truth do? The truth canceled out his logic. That's what God wants all of us to do. Wherever we're at, God wants us to say, okay, this is where you are. Now, dig into my word and let my truth work upon you. Let my truth have its way with you. And if you're in the truth already, God will build us up in that way. And if we're not yet in the truth in such a way that we have God's eternal benefits, what God will do then is that truth, that truth will work within us, and it will give us these wonderful, amazing things. Let's continue now with our hymn. Coming to 1 Corinthians 15 here for just a moment, we call it sometimes the resurrection chapter. Consider what St. Paul wrote here, picking up in verse 19. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man, talking here about Adam, the first man, since by a man came death, by a man, talking here about Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. Let's understand that God's truth cancels logic. Let us always embrace that truth over our logic. And then Paul goes on and talks about what's going to happen when Jesus returns. The Bible says, for as in Adam all die because of sin, so also in Christ, all shall be made alive. So we've all fallen into sin. We're all going to physically die, but we don't have to die forever. We don't have to be apart from God forever. We don't have to face eternal punishment. So think about this now. Paul wrote, in Christ, all shall be made alive. The key question here, who is all? When it says all shall be made alive, the Bible does not teach that way. We can look in other places in the Bible and realize that all does not mean all in this particular case. It means all who are in Christ. So who are all? Those are people who are sorry for their sins. Those are people who are trusting in Jesus, not just in a general sense, but for eternal life. And those are ones who are just like so thankful, thinking, oh dear God, I've messed up big time. I know I deserve the worst, but in Christ, I have the best. I have heaven. So now the joy of heaven, that's compelling me to want to know more about who you are and how I'm called to live, and then to honor you in my life. Those are all key ingredients of being in Christ. May God work all of that within each of us. And then Paul continued, but each in his own order, talking about the resurrection here, each in its own order, Christ the first fruits, after that, those who are Christ's at his coming. Let me read that again. Christ the first fruits, after that, those who are Christ's at his coming. That's what I'm talking about, being in Christ, those who belong to him when he comes. Then Paul continues, then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. Isn't death such a horrible, powerful thing? You know, we see a loved one, that loved one is ill and coming close to death, and if there was anything we could possibly do, we would do it in order to stop death from taking our loved one, and yet we just can't stop it. There's nothing we can do. It is so powerful. God wants us to know, yes, death is powerful, but what has Jesus done? He has defeated death. Do you believe that? Well, people are continuing to die, so it would seem like maybe that's not true. He wants us to know right this moment, by faith, based on the truth of God's word, he wants us to know Jesus is the winner. He has defeated death. Those who believe in him, we are alive in two ways, physically alive, spiritually alive. Even when our bodies die, we go on and continue to live, but we are living then with God. And then when Jesus comes, he'll raise up the bodies. And all those who died in Christ, they will be with God. They will be whole. They will have the fullness of eternal life, and they will be with God forever in a wonderful way. Now we believe by faith. When Jesus comes, we will see him with our own eyes, and we will then rejoice forever and ever. Concluding like this today, a truth, Jesus was dead, but now he is alive. Let us know for certain that is true. Something relevant, his death removed all sin. He did it for everyone of all time, but it is through faith in Jesus that we receive the benefits of what he has done. And then some inspiration here. We are blessed. Here we are. We are hearing the truth. If we believe what the Bible says, if we have our trust in Jesus, we are blessed. So let us go forth from here today and be a blessing to others. Let us invite everyone to stop trusting in themselves. Such a common thing in the world. Stop trusting in themselves, to be sorry for their sins, to trust in Jesus for heaven, and also then to gladly honor him in their lives. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for opening the way to heaven. We pray that you would keep us grasping you, not logic, not proof, but you who are the way, the truth, and the life. We also pray, dear Jesus, that you would open blind eyes wherever they might be, open them to see the saving truth, and then in a powerful, wonderful way, may you lead all people throughout the world who are not currently in Christ, may you lead them to repent. In your holy name we pray. Amen.